Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events on live scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, it's back to discussing COVID-19. It's all the media is talking about. And I realize it's a terrible distraction. And I realize the media is not covering the more important stories of the day. But this is where the culture's at. And these vaccine mandates are causing some Christians to lose their jobs. So specifically, the discussion for today is religious vaccine exemptions. There's all sorts of confusion about these exemptions, not only just in the public, but also among the judges. The law is not settled in this matter. So I'd like to explain how to properly argue for a religious exemption, but more important, explain the biblical basis for opposing these vaccine mandates. There are some great spiritual moral lessons to learn in this current issue. Here we can learn the difference between biblical morality and the false teaching of utilitarianism. So let's get into it. I have about 16 pages of scattered notes in front of me, single-spaced, 10-point font. There's no way I'm going to be able to cover all of this material. Most of it's going to have to be left for my YouTube video edition of this program. As far as right now, only 57% of the entire U.S. public is vaccinated. As far as those above age 65, those most at risk of COVID-19 complications, 86% have been fully vaccinated. But the CDC, the pharmaceutical companies, many politicians, pro-vaxxers, have a real problem on their hands. There was a spike in COVID cases this summer, and all the public is not buying into the vaccine narrative. So the powers that be, namely Democratic politicians, believe that the solution is to mandate the vaccine, require it by law. But because of the Constitution, you cannot force people to directly take these vaccines. But you can deny them the right to show up at work unvaccinated. The state can use workplace laws. Hence, you can get the unvaccinated in their pocketbooks and thereby force them to take the vaccine. It's really insidious if you think about it. It's definitely, in principle, a foreshadowing of Revelation chapter 13. Now, if we were in the Soviet Union or in communist China or North Korea, there would be no issue here. The state simply does what it wants to do. But here in America, in the West, there is this Christian concept of human rights, where people have intrinsic rights that are above the authority of the state. The First Amendment of the Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So implicit in the Constitution is this whole concept of human rights, where the state is limited in what it can force you to do. For the state to mandate vaccines, the state would have to show in the courts that the pandemic is extremely severe, that there are no other treatments or alternatives or other accommodations that can be made except to be vaccinated, and the state would have to show that the vaccines actually work. Additionally, the state is extremely limited if the citizenship has a religious objection to a government mandate because freedom of religion is sacrosanct in America. The courts have always allowed citizens to opt out of government mandates if it violates personal religious beliefs. You're even able to opt out of military service if you're a conscientious objector. And the courts have ruled that your belief doesn't even have to be backed by some religious denomination or creed, as long as it's a sincerely held religious belief. The 1964 Civil Rights Act gives citizens religious protection from state mandates. So because of this, many employees are now asking for religious and conscientious exemptions from having to take the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, without going into great detail here, the problem is that this legal situation is not settled. The courts still have to judge what is a sincere belief and what is not, or rather, what is a belief that's just an excuse to get out of something one doesn't like, or what is based upon a sincere religious belief. And the whole thing is one big mess because the courts have made the mistake in separating religious values from moral values. All values are actually religious. So even if someone objects to the vaccine because he doesn't believe in hurting his body, regardless of his religious values, that is still a religious belief because it involves metaphysical ethics. It's a belief based on a worldview, and whether it's based on humanism or Christianity, it is a religious decision. This misunderstanding in the courts is seen in the court's decision to remove religion from public schools. They removed Christianity because they considered it a religion, but they permitted the religion of humanism because it doesn't make reference to God. It sees man as God. So that is allowed because it's technically, in their minds, not a religion, when it is actually a religion, a metaphysical value based upon faith. Well, the same problem has arisen in these religious exemptions for vaccines. The courts do not know how to define religion, so pretty much they are ruling however they want to rule on these exemptions. If the judge buys into the narrative that vaccine is the solution to the alleged crisis, he will rule against religious exemptions. If the judge doesn't buy into the narrative of the efficacy of these vaccines, he will rule for religious exemptions. It has very little to do with religion, because if the judge wants people to be vaxxed, he will conclude that the government has a vested interest for the good of the society to see everyone vaxxed regardless of their religious beliefs. Just like everyone has to have a license to drive a car, or everyone has to apply for Social Security. It's all about what the judge believes is the greatest good. So Judges chapter 21, verse 25, everyone's doing what is right in his own eyes, but still the Christian must make the effort to petition the powers that be, the states, the courts, his employer, if he's going to object to taking the vaccine. Now, I've read a number of sample letters asking the state or one's employer for a religious exemption. Some of them are completely anti-vax, stating that they do not believe we should put any foreign substance into our body, and they appeal to Old Testament dietary restrictions. And the argument is that since there's a legal precedent that the state cannot require Jewish people to eat pork, this should apply to vaccines. Quote, vaccines to me are analogous to what non-kosher food is to Orthodox Jews. And no one can require anyone in the United States to consume a substance contrary to their faith. Medical experts may assert that non-kosher food and vaccines are completely healthy, but religious faith compels certain individuals to decline their consumption. I am one of those individuals. Unquote. Now, some other sample letters simply state that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a substance that has the possibility of being harmful, I cannot in good conscience take that substance and play Russian roulette with my body. But almost all religious exemption letters I have read include an objection to vaccines because of fetal stem cells being used in the development of these vaccines. And being against abortion, the plaintiff cannot support taking these vaccines even to preserve his own health. Now, the use of fetal stem cells and fetal cells in the development of vaccines has been an argument circulating in anti-vax circles for quite some time. There's a lot of confusion over this, and some people think that the vaccines themselves are continually being produced by using fetal cells, or being continued by some batch of fetal cells. I've never seen the science on this, but we do know that these pharmaceutical companies have tested their vaccines using the cells of aborted fetuses. In the providence of God, last month, a Pfizer employee blew the whistle on Pfizer. The company put out a statement that the whistleblower shared with the public. Quote, from the senior director of worldwide research, Vanessa Gelman told staff not to talk about the human fetal cells used in the company's vaccine program. From the perspective of corporate affairs, we want to avoid having the information on fetal cells floating out there. The risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit we could see, particularly with the general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways we may not want out there. So notice that Pfizer wants to control the narrative. That for them, it's better to keep information from the public for the greater good of getting people to take the vaccine. She continues, we have not received any questions from policymakers or media on this issue in the last few weeks, so we want to avoid raising this if possible. We have been trying as much as possible not to mention fetal cell lines. One or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue, has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program. Gelman goes on to write, Pfizer Chief Scientist Officer Phil Dormitzer wrote an email that said aborted fetus tissue was used in the company's vaccine program. But he instructed employees not to reveal that information to anyone and instead encouraged them to use the Pfizer talking point script that would avoid the issue. Cells used for vaccine research are ultimately derived from aborted fetuses. On the other hand, the Vatican Doctrinal Committee has confirmed that they consider it acceptable for pro-life believers to be immunized. Pfizer official statements couch the answer well, and that is what should be provided in response to any outside inquiry. Unquote. So the use of aborted baby cells is a just grounds for refusing to have anything to do with COVID-19 vaccines. And it would be wise for any exemption letter to quote that source. Now, those pushing the vaccines and liberal judges are already trying to knock down the fetal tissue argument with the what about argument. In an NPR article, Conway Health, a large medical conglomerate, had employees asking for religious exemptions based upon the use of fetal tissue in the vaccines. So Conway sent out a letter listing 28 commonly used medicines that have also used fetal cells in their research. Tylenol, Motrin, Tums, Pepto-Bismol, Aspirin, Ex-Lax. Then Conway asked those who had a religious objection to sign an affidavit stating that they will not use any of these other products. So you see the game they're playing. And some courts are playing the same game. The answer is that these generic drugs have been around a long time before abortion and the use of fetal cells. You know, there's a big difference between testing these products after the fact and using fetal cells in the initial development. In fact, if we do discover that fetal cells are used by Pfizer in any product, in testing any product, Christians will agree to use generic versions of those products made by some other company. Furthermore, in the laws concerning religious exemption, courts, judges, private companies are not to sit as judges over people's sincere religious beliefs. They are not to call into question the sincerity or the consistency of such beliefs. They are simply required to give accommodation to those religious beliefs. But no, the powers that be often do what's right in their own eyes. So the first serious basis for religious exemption would be this use of aborted babies for vaccine development. It's a real reminder how we've lost a sense of morality in our culture, where these medical professionals have no qualms about using the body parts of others for experiments. Now, a second biblical basis for religious exemption would be the false ideology of utilitarianism. This is an overlooked issue, but it's really the strongest argument against taking these vaccines. The CDC on its own website has reported that COVID-19 vaccines have resulted in about 17,000 deaths, and that within just 10 months. About 25,000 people are permanently disabled because of these vaccines. I just mentioned this to someone the other day, and they said they found that hard to believe. Well, that's because there is a media blackout on those numbers. So that when people hear it for the first time, it's shocking. I mean, if it's true, why isn't this widely known? This same person said to me, it couldn't have all been from the vaccine. But the CDC itself states that at least 87% of those deaths were obviously closely correlated to the vaccine. And these deaths were not merely because so many of these vaccines have been given out. Every year, there are millions of flu vaccines and measles and whooping cough and chickenpox and shingle vaccines given out. More vaccines than the COVID-19 shot. And there is usually only about 100 people dying from complications due to those vaccines. But here with the COVID-19 vaccine, we're approaching 20,000. Any other vaccine program would have been shut down with this many deaths. Why hasn't the COVID vaccine been shut down? Well, we all have our hunches. It could be this fanatical desire in the medical establishment to promote this new mRNA technology. It could be the money flowing into the coffers of these pharmaceutical companies. And it's likely due to a subtle change in our nation's moral consciousness, where now we believe the ends justify the means, the philosophy of the greater good, and that is a philosophy that Christians vehemently oppose. The Moderna vaccine has been banned in 3 European countries because it has resulted in heart inflammations and deaths. Our own FDA responded to that report. Quote, the FDA continues to find that the known and potential benefits of vaccination outweigh the known and potential risks of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. Well, that is a moral decision, not a decision of science. When the CDC was deciding on whether to approve booster shots, the CDC's own medical advisory panel voted 16-2 against approving the booster shots. The director of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, overruled the panel and approved the booster shots. And the reason Walensky gave for approving the booster, not a scientific or medical reason, she said, in a pandemic, even with uncertainty, we must take action that we anticipate will do the greater good. And again, that is not a matter of science. That is a matter of ethics and faith, what she anticipates will do the greater good. And Christians do not practice the greater good ideology. We don't believe in sacrificing the lives of the few for the many. Utilitarianism is the official title for this philosophy of the greatest good for the greatest number of people. It means that the rightness of some action must be judged by its results. If it works, do it, is another slogan in this regard. Now, on its face, it may sound like a good basis for ethics, but it is totally contrary to biblical morality And it's the basis for some of the most heinous violations of God's law in the history of the world. And this ethical foundation of utilitarianism is driving COVID policy today, not biblical morality, because our society left out biblical morality a long time ago. Well, here are the errors of utilitarianism. It can lead to the practice of the ends justify the means, where anything people judge to be worthwhile can be justified. Hitler justified the Holocaust because the worthwhile end was the purifying of the human race. Stalin slaughtered millions because it helped him achieve communist utopia. This was summed up in Stalin's motto, "You have to break a few eggs to make an omelet." Citizens can cheat in an election because their candidate is viewed as better for the society. Slavery can be justified because cheap labor may be better for the majority of citizens. So a majority of citizens could enslave a minority for the greater good. And a minority of citizens could be used as guinea pigs for medical experiments for the greater good. If a physician can save five people from death by killing one healthy person and using that person's organs to save life, then the greater good theory implies that a doctor should kill one person to save five. Abortion is based on the philosophy of the greatest good, this Darwinistic ethic of the survival of the fittest, where the greater good is the economic, the emotional, the social prosperity of the parents, not the life of the child. The use of fetal tissue in medical research is also about the greater good. The greater good is the health of those living rather than the lives of these babies in the womb. The truth is, the ends never justify the means. The means must justify themselves. An action cannot be judged as good simply because it may lead to a good consequence. The means itself must be judged by some objective standard of morality, namely the law of God, the law of nature and nature's God, regardless of the results. And as I said earlier, a problem with utilitarianism is that man is not a very good judge of what's best. People cannot foretell the future. They cannot predict long-term outcomes very well. So this is where God steps in and tells us what is the greatest good through his moral law. The greater good argument is known as, quote, "the politician's dodge, the murderer's solence, the culprit's excuse, and several other metaphors, because it is like a scapegoat they run to every time they make a decision that affects many in a harmful way, claiming that it will benefit many others." Unquote. So, a written religious objection to the COVID vaccine should include a religious objection to the humanist philosophy of utilitarianism. We should not play Russian roulette with human life. You say, where is this addressed in the Bible? Well, there are many places where sin is justified in the name of the greater good. But the Word of God says the moral law of God comes first. And on this point, I need to end. The full video version of this discussion will be on my rumble.com channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Now, you can check out my YouTube channel this week, but I can almost guarantee you that the YouTube compliance officers will take down this video because they will not allow you to cast any doubt on the COVID vaccine, even if you're just telling the facts or even the law. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to see in all that is happening that men are trying to play God. They are putting their opinions over your law. May we instead bow our knees to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.